of good stuff right there. 641 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scola Morning News, and that music can only mean one thing. It means that we're going to be talking trash with Bruce Woody, the executive director of the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority, ECUA. Bruce, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Good to talk to you.
Good morning. Or I suppose in this case, more so not talking trash but water, but we got all of it involved. First of all, we had talked about it when it happened, but there has been a milestone reached since the last time you and I talked, right?
That is true. Due to the state passing Senate Bill 700, all public and private utilities that provide water service throughout the state are no longer allowed to fluoridate or put fluoride in the water. So we needed to complete that task by July 1st. At their meeting in May, our board chose to cease purchase of additional materials and just use up what was already on hand. As a result of that, the last of the fluoridation in ECUA's water was Monday, June 16th.
There you go. So we're all done with fluoridating the water until and unless something changes at the state, because it's completely preempted out of our local control. And this means we won't have an amendment to vote on. We won't have any more conversation about it and get a visit from Joe Latipo. Just it's all done. So I was kind of surprised in listening to the conversation between the board members. You and I had talked about this a little bit last time. I was just surprised that there was still a fair amount of emotion and contention even over the question of how to end the policy and are we perceived as standing against the state and that kind of stuff. It was kind of interesting. I haven't talked about it on the show, but it's just kind of an interesting thing. But part of that was an effort to make people aware that if fluoride is not in the water anymore, where they can go if they want to get fluoride products in order to maintain that usefulness as a dental treatment, right?
Yeah. So there were motions from our own customers on both sides of that debate. So to help provide some additional information, if you are still interested in fluoride and resources regarding that material, you can go to ECUA's website under the Live Green tab. There's another tab called Our Water Supply, and there you can find out some information, a little bit about the history of the Senate bill, for starters, also some additional sources for fluoride if you want to pursue that separately and individually. There's also a few links to some public services that provide information about fluoride coming from the ADA, CDC, National Institutes of Health, Florida Department of Health, et cetera.
And some other stuff that's going on that you guys dealt with yesterday. You've got five new trucks that you've purchased, right? And this is really kind of a good news story because they're cheaper than what we'd previously been paying.
That's true. We keep a close tabs on what it costs to own and operate all of our equipment. And as we monitor the life cycle cost of a piece of equipment, and the changes in technology, it's become evident the last few years that it is less expensive to operate diesel now as opposed to compressed natural gas. We still have a large fleet of CNG vehicles, including some we've purchased new in the last few years, but it's now to the point where the first cost to purchase the vehicle is less for diesel than CNG. The cost to operate and maintain in terms of preventive maintenance is less for diesel than CNG. And then lastly, at the end of the service life, when we're selling the old vehicles, we can actually get a salvage value out of the diesel, whereas nobody was buying CNG other than paying scrap metal prices for it.
Wow.
So we're now making the switch to diesel. That first cost you just mentioned, though, full $100,000 a vehicle per vehicle less expensive upfront.
Wow. $100,000 less per. So we just, by just switching to diesel from CNG, we've saved $500,000 in this latest order. And what was the price before per truck?
They were about $490,000 a piece for a full-size vehicle.
That's the previous. So these ones are like $390. They're just under $400 a piece.
That's
wow.
Correct.
Okay. Well, that's great. Cause for celebration. You guys, yesterday, your board signed the agreement for the interlocal with the city of Pensacola to resume use of the MRF, the materials recycling facility, for recycling in the city. Is that right?
Yes, that's true. We're really excited that the city of Pensacola is getting back into the recycling business. They're just now sharing information with the media and the general public. So the timeline, of course, is certainly their own. They're discussing what rates would be. This would be by subscription. rather than as a part of, so it's a voluntary service at an additional fee. City of Pensacola is going to do their own collecting, but our contract is then to provide the recycling services at our materials recovery facility. So we'll process the recyclables, and we have entered into a revenue sharing agreement with the city.
You know, two questions for you, Bruce. One is, this is kind of your domain. You know about this stuff. And I know the pitch from Mayor Reeves has been for quite some time. And the deal they have is actually a very interesting one, because it's private money that is going to be paying for the education campaign to get people to recycle more effectively and to not have their recyclables mixed with trash and all of that, you know, contaminants or whatever. But based on your survey of the field, do you think that it's more successful if there's opt-in recycling as opposed to everybody recycling in terms of the contamination rate?
Since there is a financial incentive for participants to be involved in recycling, there's a night and day difference. We have some customers coming, for instance, from Santa Rosa County. We have subscription services. And pretty consistently, their contamination rates are really low, like 15%. And usually those items aren't garbage. They're just items that people hope or think would be recyclable that technically aren't.
They put styrofoam in it, and you guys don't take styrofoam, for instance. That kind of thing.
Right.
Okay.
Perfect. Yeah, examples like that. Whereas our challenges in our community, since it's strictly voluntary, those folks, we have a certain segment of our service area that for whatever reason, just don't have an interest in recycling, and therefore use the recycling bin as just another garbage can.
So
when that gets all co-mingled, we wind up with contamination rates pushing close to 50%.
Oh, I know. Okay, so that's like you say, night and day. 15 versus 50 is an amazing number, and it's not even trash. It's just non-allowed materials, basically. Okay, so if that's true, has ECUA ever talked about going to a subscription service for recycling to cut down on that problem?
We do internally at the staff level quite a bit. We've only had it come up lightly discussed at the board level.
Okay.
There's a lot of perspectives on that. We want as much participation as we can, certainly, and we started as voluntary. And we want to encourage recycling. You know, the volume of recycling goes down, although the quality goes up.
Right.
You know, there's an inverse relationship there. So, but at present, it's strictly voluntary in our service area.
Okay. Well, I mean, I as just a layman and as a customer, it seems like that would be a conversation, you know, worth having in some detail, mm-hmm. because the cost savings to ECUA, which it's all one big, you know, bundle of money in the end, but the cost savings to ECUA of not having to waste money on contaminated loads and being able to therefore be more profitable to offset the cost of, garbage collection and everything. I don't know, just, you know, these numbers a lot better than I do, but oh. The 15 versus 50 is a pretty stark number. And, I'm sure a lot of people in Escambia County would be willing to pay a little bit if we could make it more efficient, and maybe it saves us money. I don't know, but you tell me, you know, you're the expert.
Yeah, I will say 2 years ago, we did take kind of an interim step in that it used to be when you subscribed to us, you received one trash can and one recycling can. And if you didn't want to recycle, then you didn't get the recycling can. You know, that was one can unless you paid extra for the second can. That was changed about 2 years ago. Now, for the fee you pay, you receive two cans. And that second can is a customer's option, whether they want it to be a recycling can or a trash can. So we've provided a means for folks to opt out of the recycling program, and it has helped somewhat. I've looked at the numbers really recently, but you know, it might be 45% or something as opposed to 50.
It's still small difference, yeah.
A little bit, but we are making changes with folks who do just genuinely do have no interest in recycling. Leaving them an option.
Okay. Well, I'm sure it makes you pull your hair out to think about, but you know, it's the first time I had thought about it that way. I know I'm new to the conversation on that, but I was just curious. The other question I wanted to ask you about recycling is it Okaloosa? Where was there's a new facility that's opened up to our east. I can't remember if it's Okaloosa or Walton. And there was some concern that maybe they would compete against us for customers, especially out of Santa Rosa County and other surrounding areas. Have you seen that? Has there been shifting in the market from the, you know, input side of your recycling operation because of the competition?
Out of our prior customer base, the only change that's happened is been Okaloosa County themselves.
Okay.
Right off the bat, they did sign up with Waste Management to open their facility in Okaloosa County. But Santa Rosa County, who had briefly toyed with the idea of going out for RSP, have instead re-upped with us. They're continuing to provide services here. We competed with through responding to a request for proposals for the City of Pensacola services, and Waste Management also submitted proposals, but the city chose ECLA.
Got it. Okay. And then the last thing, we're talking to Bruce Woody with Emerald Coast Utilities Authority. You guys have a career fair, so if people want a job or know somebody who wants a job, it's tomorrow, is that right?
Yes, Thursday the 26th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at our facility at 3050 Godwin Lane. That's just east of Pine Forest. We're having a career fair. We have a number of open positions for sanitation equipment operator and fleet mechanic. And we're also looking for additional parts position in our parts department. And if those positions sound interesting to you, please come and visit us. We have a decent starting wage and lots of opportunities for incentives to increase that wage through things like safety incentives or additional SAE certifications, et cetera. And good benefits. And only 15% of employers out there offer pensions. And we're an organization that's part of the Florida retirement system. So there's some benefits you can't get elsewhere. So it's a good opportunity for folks.
A pension? What's that? No, that's amazing. That's fantastic.
Right.
Oh, and by the way, that you made me think of something. The Godwin Lane, is that the location for the transfer station, the one that's supposed to really cut down on the trip time and kind of, especially during rush hour, and really improve the operational efficiency? Is that where are we at on that transfer station construction? You haven't broke ground yet, right?
No, there's multi-step processes are for any commercial development. We've got the plans all complete except for some recent minerals we're having to do on the stormwater drainage side, getting our proposed detention basin pond approved, and then FDOT's still looking at some driveway entrance details.
But, okay.
Then we'll be going back to the county for their final review, and we have a review process to finish with FDEP. Then we'll be ready for bid, so look forward to getting into construction.
So we're probably, what, a year and a half, 2 years away from completion?
Once we get all the permits, then we'll have about a year and a half of construction.
So, okay, so even longer.
I'd say there's easily six months on top of that by the time we go to bid. So.
Okay, all right. Well, I know that's a big passion project for Vicki Campbell, and you know, I think it's a great project, so I'm eager to see that happen because I know it's going to make your lives better, make our lives better as well, and take your trucks off the road running up back and forth between the landfill. Bruce Woody, ECUA executive. I'm sorry, what's that?
A lot of efficiencies to be gained by that. Yes, we're looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Bruce Woody, he is the executive director of ECUA. Bruce, as always, thanks for the time telling us what our elected officials are doing on our behalf when it comes to recycling and water and, you know, all the things that they take care of. I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again next month.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity to share information. Have a good day.